guys, and welcome back to Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. I'm Nick, and my other co-host is Rohan. After a two-month-long hiatus, we're finally back to bringing you more What If of history. But before we get into our newest episode, I must first apologize on behalf of the Back to the Past crew for the untimely ending of Season 3, and this was due to our chaotic schedules at the time, and we just couldn't get together to put out another episode. Nonetheless, today's episode is What If Russia Never Sold Alaska? So, here's some background.
Alright, so around the 1730s, Russian hunters started arriving in Alaska to hunt for fur, like for example sea otters, because during the time they were plentiful throughout Alaska. No colony was necessarily established, but missionaries were sent, and overall, at the end of the day, around 700 Russians enforced sovereignty in a territory that was twice the size of Texas. So after the Crimean War, Russia starts realizing that Alaska is a hard-to-defend place, and their arch-enemy, the British Empire, was right there in Canada. In case the British were able to take control of Alaska, Russia would have their arch-enemy right on the border across the Bering Sea, and Russia wasn't very keen on this idea. So, the Tsar at the time, Alexander II, decided to sell it in order to protect Russia from the British Empire. So after negotiating with the Secretary of State, William Severed, after the end of the Civil War, they finally decided on a treaty on March 30th, 1867, to purchase Alaska for $7.2 million. So some opponents of this purchase labeled the purchase as useless land, because in reality, Alaska is very just plain and desolate. And at the time, they didn't really know that there was plentiful of resources under the ground. For example, in 1896, the Klondike gold rush happened, and tons of people started moving to Alaska, and eventually oil was also discovered, too, in Alaska. So at the end of the day, Russia sold Alaska because they didn't want the British Empire on their border, but really, it kind of ended up hurting Russia because of the plentiful of resources that were in Alaska. So now the scenario is, what if Russia never sold Alaska, like stated in the introduction before? So what if Tsar Alexander II didn't like the amount the Americans were willing to pay for it? Maybe he wanted more money. But overall, the Russia and the United States couldn't agree to a deal, and now Russia has Alaska. So how is it going to look now with the aftermath of the Crimean War, or really British-led coalition, or British-led alliance consisting of France and the Ottoman Empire against Russia? How is Alaska now going to look? Because Alaska's right on the border with British Canada.
Well, first, it's important to recognize that the Crimean War happened around 15 years earlier, so around 1851. It ended in 1853, if I'm correct on the dot. So it was about 15 years after, in 1866, when William Seward purchased it from Russia. And so I think in this scenario, for example, if we're going to talk about immediate consequences for Russia, Britain, and the United States, the United States would lose out on a pretty good amount of land. And there's also – well, it was useless at the time. It was actually called Seward's Ice Box, as a matter of fact, because it's just a waste of land, just ice. And that's really it. But I think there's going to be more tensions against Canada and Russia, or really just UK and Russia in general. And that's just immediately, because at the time period, actually, Russia and was pretty pro-union, actually, because this is right after the Civil War. Russia was surprisingly probably the one who did the most for the Union, as I know. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct. But overall, I think the immediate consequences are not going to be so much as so as, say, a little bit later, per se. Especially once they find gold, oil, or black gold, oil, and that's really all they have for it. Just, I think, immediate tensions between Canada, aka the UK, and Russia. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like it's just going to cause tensions. There might be a potential skirmish here and there. But at the same time, there's so little people in that area. I don't think anything's going to happen until migration starts with the Klondike Gold Rush. Then, as soon as that happens, I think the tensions are going to start flaring up.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying with the tensions in general, I'm not talking about with the Klondike Gold Rush in general, because that's definitely – tensions will definitely flare up as a result, but I'm saying more so since Britain and Russia are not the greatest friends at the time period. That's what I mean. It's just more so tension on that border, because at least with America, while there was definitely tensions between Britain and the United States, there was a thaw going on between the relationship, which would culminate in World War I.
Yeah, no, you're right. What I was essentially saying is that there's so little people in the area that there's going to be tensions between Russia and the UK, but there won't be any actual skirmish unless one of them decides to take military action. But I think let's move on to the gold rush and what's going to happen there. So the gold rush, I think, is still going to happen. So in case you don't know, it's in the Yukon region, which means Canada and southern Alaska. So tons of people are going to move up north. So Russia is going to be now faced with this huge amount of Americans and British and essentially non-Russians moving to Russian territory. And I don't think Alexander II is going to really like that, because one of these notes actually of this purchase before was that if gold was discovered here, like it was in San Francisco, the Russian population in Alaska would be overwhelmed, and he didn't really wasn't particularly keen on that. Alexander II didn't really want foreigners in a Russian colony per se. He didn't want these different cultures and stuff mixing with the Russian culture, because he wanted Alaska to be more of a Russian cult colony. So now, when gold is discovered here, you're going to have all these different foreigners rushing in. So I think personally that Alexander II might potentially block these foreigners from coming in. He might promote Russians to go to Alaska instead in order to populate it. What do you think, Nick?
I actually like that idea in a sense, because I do think that would probably make sense in terms of Alexander II promoting Russians to go to Alaska, especially because Alaska and Russia has a lot of more of a similar climate than, say, like a Midwestern state like Ohio, for example, and Alaska. And I think the Russians probably better adapt to Alaska quicker, per se. But at the same time, we also have to take into effect that they're effectively banning immigrants, not only to just Alaska, but I think it would honestly have to affect the entirety of Russia itself, per se, like banning immigrants from like the UK or the United States. And heck, I would assume, for example, China would probably be a big part of this as well, because
Yeah, it would be a big thing, but I don't think he'd really want, especially Americans and British people, to go to Alaska.
yeah, no, like I definitely agree with that point. And then there's also, I just also want to add in the Chinese, for example, because the Chinese are pretty important, especially within our gold rushes, for example. Like if there's a huge it was a huge Chinese community that moved in during the time period, typically children actually as well, who worked in the mines, is because they had like small hands and whatever, and they could just pick what like pick the up the gold or place in explosives, and they were really useful per se, unfortunately. But getting back on topic here, there's also the case where it's going to cause just geopolitical issues in general between the UK and the USA, between UK and Russia and the USA and Russia. Now, will this affect, say, World War One? No, I don't think it will, because they're more united in a common threat, with Germany being the common threat to the entirety of to the stability of the world. But otherwise, let's actually move on towards after World War One, because after the gold rush, there's going to be the Russian well, after the gold rush, the next major event I'd have to say that would happen in Russian history, besides the Russian Revolution in 1905, which would not affect Alaska during the time period, oh, which would not affect Alaska, would be the Russian Revolution. So how do you think the Russian Revolution would play out? And I think it
I
still
think
succeeds in it. I'm not saying, I'm just going to give my opinion first quickly, but I think it still succeeds, the Russian Revolution. But I don't know what would happen with Alaska per se. Maybe Britain occupies it. I don't think America would occupy it personally. But
so what
what do
I
you say?
think so what I think is going to happen is the Russian Revolution, obviously the communists are still going to win. I think the White Army might try to hide out in Alaska, but I think the Soviet Union is going to exert its sovereignty over Alaska and try to maintain it, but it probably could have a big insurgency problem, but I think it'll be swept up over time. But I think now this is going to cause issues with the British Empire and America. Now, this communist state is literally right on their own continent. And I mean, for the British, it's right in their borders. If the Soviets wanted, they could just march into Canada. I mean, who's going to stop them in northern Canada? They wouldn't even know until it was too late to stop the momentum, you know? So I think that's just going to cause a lot of tensions and military buildup in northern Canada. Because the British and the Americans are both not keen on having a Soviet state nearby them, a communist state.
No, I don't think there will be like a, I don't think the USSR would be able to reach Alaska per se. So I have to, I'm gonna go with, because I know what you were polling there. You were talking about like an alternate history hub type of scenario there, because he's done this type of video before. But my take on it, I think, is a bit more interesting per se, because I think it's the, I think it's a more interesting take to it. And I'd say that I think Britain probably would occupy Alaska. Because number one, it's right next to it. It's right next to Canada. And so basically, it could be easily incorporated into Canada, in a sense. And then there's also, and it's also easy to provide refuge in Alaska per se, as Alaska would probably be a Russian minor, would be a Russian majority region, almost like how Arizona and New Mexico are pretty, are predominated by Hispanic, dominated by Hispanic culture somewhat. And then there's also Oklahoma that was majority, and I believe it still is majority Native American, and the only state in the Union that actually is majority Native American. I believe that Alaska in this scenario, because I believe the British annexing it is the probably the more realistic scenario to me, at least. If the British were to annex it, I don't think the Russians would be happy per se, but I think it would be the more realistic take here. I think Russia would almost be like a special interest group, similar to how the French are, the Quebecois are in Canada as well. So it's, it would be funny too, because I don't know if you know this, but in Canada, for example, they actually have to, they have to actually learn French and English in order to become an important politician per se. Like Justin Trudeau knows both English and French, but including Russia, it'd be hilarious to see them speaking three languages all at once. Because I think it would be a similar situation. Not maybe not as rebellious as say Quebecois who wants to leave, but I think Alaska would be more like a Quebecois, like a special interest group. What do you say?
That's definitely an interesting scenario. I mean, it's funny having the kids and all the foreign politics and the politicians having to learn Russian, but I don't think that'd be really a big thing because not many people live in Alaska compared to Quebec. But moving on, I think that's definitely an interesting take. But my issues with it, despite the minimum defenses that are in Russia and minimum Soviet troops that are, I don't know if the British public would be seeming keen with an invasion or an incursion into foreign territory, especially after the Great War, especially because Europe got hit really badly with the Great War compared to the United States. Even though it's going to be like minimally defended, just more of walking in, the fact that it's an incursion or an invasion of foreign soil isn't going to look good in the British media, and the public aren't going to be happy. So it's definitely a viable scenario, and I definitely could see it happening. I don't know if the public would be content with it.
I think in the case where if there was a red threat per se, because there was a red scare during the 1920s, and I think if they were to put post propaganda out and say, yeah, if we don't take it, the red Russians are going to take it. If they push that, I believe that the public would probably be more favorable to that in that case.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'd be more favorable. This would be a thing. It's still gonna be very like contested and very like a lot of opposition to it, but it's definitely a viable scenario, I feel like, a very plausible one.
Yeah, that's my take on it, really, because I think that would probably be the best case scenario, the scenario I think that is most favorable to it, because I think Britain mo most likely, but yeah, I'll move on. But yeah, I think Britain would be most likely to take on Canada, so Britain to take on Alaska instead of like the Russia, like the white Russians taking it for themselves. So now let's move on to how that affects relations between, say, the United States, Britain, and the Soviet Union, especially because they become allies in a sense in World War II, or just a friend of your, the enemy of your enemy in that case. How do you think that would affect British and Russian relationships specifically during this time period? Because as we know in actual history, for example, let's look at World War II, for example, Churchill and Stalin were not the best of friends. Churchill feared Stalin overtaking the entirety of Europe, and Stalin was always paranoid about everything and thought actually that Churchill was working for Hitler. And this is true actually, because Stalin was so paranoid about Churchill saying that, oh yeah, Hitler is going to invade you. He was so paranoid about that, he thought that Churchill was just working for Hitler. And he was actually more furtherly convinced about when Rudolf Hess actually flew over to England. So how do you think this would affect USSR and UK relations?
I think it's only going to get worse because, as you mentioned, Stalin had this mistrust of the West to begin with. Then there's actually, so I've been reading a book on the KGB recently, actually. And in it, it's been saying about how during the 1920s and 30s, the Soviet Union started doing a lot of essentially what are illegals or sleeper agents and a lot of agents in foreign soil because they did not trust the West. Stalin did not trust the West one bit, and he wanted to know everything what they were doing. So the Soviet Union invested a lot of resources into spying, particularly in Britain and France. So now having Britain own essentially what is Russian-claimed territory isn't going to look good. And I don't think Stalin and Russia and Britain are going to be friends at all in the world. And even though they're going to be fighting the same ally, I don't think they're going to consider each other on the same side, if you get what I mean. I think the United States will have to be like this mediocre... I think the United States will have to be the middleman between the two of them. But like, I don't think... like, let's just say, like, for example, I don't think they're going to look each other in the face to give like a way to describe it, per se. It's not going to look good. It's not going to be pretty. And although it's not going to change the course of the war, I feel, it's not going to be great for either side now. Because with this mistrust, the Soviet Union, for example, although they didn't get much British supplies, they did lack it. And the British and Soviet proposed invasion of Iran, that's not going to happen either. So the Britain's not going to try to find a way to get supplies to the Soviet Union as well.
So, like you were saying, though, one thing you said, of course, was that the United States would have to mediate the Soviet Union and the UK. And in actual history, they were really the mediator. And actually, a criticism that some people have for FDR during his presidency, that he was a bit too sympathetic to the Soviet Union. And this was seen, for example, or this was believed really during the Yalta Conference, for example, where Franklin Delano Roosevelt basically gave them half of Europe. And while I think, for example, FDR, I think, will still be president in this scenario, I don't think anything is really going to change as a result of that. Overall, I think that I think Harry S. Truman, for example, when he comes in around, I believe, April of 1945, I think he honestly would definitely be a lot more favorable to the United States in terms of how he treats the Soviet Union and he also treats Britain. He treats them almost more fairly than FDR being a bit sympathetic, in a sense. But overall, that's really my take on it, and I really agree with what you say, basically. Like, there's no criticisms.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I don't think the war would really change, but just those relationships.
I think overall, really the big takeaway we can get from it is, besides, for example, the UK eventually would hit oil, and that would be pretty interesting as well because, for example, let's move on to oil real quick before we end this episode off. We also have to mention oil because Alaska is pretty prevalent in oil nowadays. And I would actually like to see how oil would turn out in this scenario because the UK was actually privatized oil beginning in the 1980s as a result and committing tax cuts, for example. So I don't think that even with the extra reserves outside of the North Sea in Alaska, I think still we would see the UK nowadays, instead of pulling like a Norway, for example, and investing in their citizens and social programs, et cetera, et cetera. And what I mean specifically is, for example, if you look at Norway, for example, they're pretty regulatory towards a lot of the foreign companies, and they actually have a pretty good amount of stake in their own state-owned company, or the state-owned company has a pretty good stake in the oil market in the North Sea, at least in Norwegian territory. While Britain, for example, they actually privatized some of their industries that. Some of their oil companies that were actually part of that the North Sea. For example, BP, British Petroleum, was privatized in, I believe, 1986. So how do you think this would work? How do you think it would work? I think there would really be no change per se, especially with compared to modern day Britain. I don't think that, especially with Margaret Thatcher in charge and providing tax cuts, I don't think that it really would change. What about you?
I mean, first of all, now Britain has what is essentially a much more domestic source of oil compared to having to import it from the Middle East. I think that's only going to help the British Empire because now they don't have to rely on the Middle East with their price guzzling and stuff like that. But now moving on to your point, I think it's still going to be privatized at the end of the day. And if anything, it might be privatized earlier now with essentially oil on British soil. I think the British government might end up privatizing it earlier because now they've got plenty of oil and stuff in Alaska. I mean, if you look at the Alaska oil industry in Alaska right now, the American oil industry is pretty huge. It's not as big as Texas, for example, the Gulf, but it's still pretty huge because there's a good amount of oil up there. So I think if anything, it might get privatized earlier.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think it would be privatized earlier, but overall, we still would agree to be privatized. But otherwise, that's going to be it for this episode of Back to the Past, the Alternate History Podcast. Thank you very much for watching this first episode, and we're very glad to be back. And please go follow our Instagram at Back to the Past P1, along with our Twitter, which is the same, at Back to the Past P1, and also check out kluka.org to watch episodes of Back to the Past, along with learning about more about the creators of it, me and Rohan. Otherwise, have a great day.